Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're jumping into a really powerful tool for insurance agents, artificial intelligence, specifically how you can use it ethically to, you know, really strengthen those client relationships and grow your business.
Absolutely. We've got some great insights and practical examples from a source called Making AI Work for Your Customers Ethically.
Right. And our mission today for you listening is to get a solid handle on the benefits, sure, but also the crucial ethical side of AI and insurance. The goal, to help you gain that competitive edge and just serve your clients better.
And the potential payoff is pretty significant. The source highlights how personalized experiences can really move the needle. Things like 33% higher retention, maybe a 71% increase in referral.
Wow, 71%.
Yeah. And even a 41% greater likelihood clients will buy more policies.
Yeah.
Big numbers.
Huge. But the challenge, and this is the core question, right? How do you actually do that level of personalization consistently at scale when you've got tons of clients?
Exactly. That jump in metrics really shows the power. But scaling that personal feeling, that's the tricky part. Our source kicks off by looking at how tech can bridge that gap, especially around understanding, well, just the natural flow of your clients' lives.
Makes sense. It's one thing with a small book, but keeping tabs on everyone's, you know, major life events as you grow, that gets tough.
Mm-hmm.
So the first area we looked at is this idea of using AI for life event prediction and monitoring.
Yeah, and there's a story about an agent, Carlos, in the Midwest. He was, like, running into this exact problem, losing clients because big things were happening in their lives.
And he wasn't in the loop.
Right. Or they didn't realize he offered the coverage they suddenly needed, or they just went somewhere else for a quick fix. It's a common frustration, I think.
So what did Carlos do? He brought in an AI system. It basically acts like an early warning system, you know?
Okay, how does that work?
Well, it monitors public records, think property purchases, marriages, new businesses getting registered, that kind of thing.
Publicly available stuff.
Exactly. And it also looks at his own client data to spot patterns that might hint at a big change coming up. This gives him a chance to reach out proactively.
So instead of waiting for the client to call after they buy the house?
He's already reaching out before, maybe, or right as it happens. It changes the whole dynamic, doesn't it? Makes him look like a partner, not just the salesperson reacting.
Definitely more proactive.
Yeah.
There's a specific example in the source, right? At Johnson's.
Yeah, great example. Clients of his. The AI flagged that they'd bought a vacation place in Colorado, like, even before the closing was totally done.
Wow, that's fast.
Right. So Carlos calls them up. Talks about second home coverage. They were apparently blown away. He even admitted, look, without the AI, he wouldn't have known for ages, maybe after they'd already gotten insurance somewhere else.
That really shows the shift, moving from reactive to proactive. Builds trust, makes a relationship stickier. They probably felt like he was really looking out for them.
And the practical side he mentioned, it costs them about, what, $200 a month?
$200, yeah. Which sounds like, okay, an expense, but...
Yeah. But he said it stopped clients from leaving and directly led to new policies. So the ROI seems to be there.
Makes sense. Now, what about, you know, the solo agents, the ones juggling everything? Can they realistically tap into this without breaking the bank or needing a tech degree?
That's a really important question because so many agents are solo practitioners. And the source actually points to some pretty accessible options.
Like what?
Things like email integration tools it mentions, Cliently, active piece that can scan communications for those life events or keywords about preferences. And these can be around like $30 a month.
Okay, $30 is definitely more manageable.
Yeah, or even just using enhancements on basic CRMs you might already have. Digging into the data, you've got to find insights. Maybe spotting clients nearing retirement age, things like that.
There's not always about buying a whole new complex system. It could be smarter use of existing tools.
Exactly. And crucially, the source mentions dedicating time, maybe just 30 minutes a day, to actually review the insights the AI spits out. The tech finds it, but you still need to act on it.
Right. The human element is still key. The AI gives you the lead, but you've got to make the call, have the conversation. That 30-minute block idea highlights that.
And there's another story, Jennifer, a solo agent in rural Oregon. She felt she knew her clients pretty well.
But the AI found things she'd missed. Happens to the best of us, right? Especially when you're wearing all the hats, sales, service, admin.
Totally. Details slip through. The AI acts almost like a virtual assistant, flagging important nuggets.
Like the story about the client's son graduating college.
Perfect example. The AI reminded Jennifer... She reached out, said congrats, and it naturally turned into a chat about international travel insurance for his trip. a need she wouldn't have thought of otherwise.
See, it's not always about the huge life events. Sometimes it's those smaller milestones that open the door for relevant advice.
The big takeaway for solo agents seems to be find tools that fit smoothly into your workflow. Don't let the tech become the job, right?
Makes perfect sense. Okay, so what about larger agencies, multiple agents on a team? How does personalization work then?
Well, the strategies get a bit more coordinated, obviously. The source suggests maybe having a central person, like a personalization coordinator.
Okay, so one person reviews the AI insights.
Yeah, reviews the insights generated by the AI and then passes the relevant info to the specific agent who handles that client. Keeps everyone consistent.
That sounds efficient. And it also mentioned AI supporting specialization.
Right. If you have agents focusing on certain niches, the AI can feed them really targeted insights for those client types, helping them tailor their advice even better.
So deeper expertise combined with personalized outreach.
Exactly. There's an example of Robert's agency spending around $250 a month on this.
And they saw results.
Big time. Retention went from 83% up to 91% in the first year. Clients apparently kept saying how impressed they were that the agency remembered little details about them.
Wow, 83 to 91% is a significant jump.
Yeah.
That really speaks to the bottom line impact when a whole agency feels personal, builds serious loyalty.
So, okay, the advantages are pretty clear. But, and this is crucial, the source really digs into the ethical side. Using AI has to enhance trust, not break it down. Recommendations have to be genuinely for the client's benefit.
Absolutely. AI is a powerful tool,
yeah.
But it needs that human filter, that ethical check. It's about augmenting judgment, not replacing it.
Which brings us to the story of Sarah's agency and her client, Robert Mason. This highlights what can go wrong.
Right. The AI looking purely at data patterns suggested a whole life policy for Robert, but it missed the context.
What was the context?
His wife had recently finished cancer treatment and their savings were pretty much depleted. So this recommendation, while maybe logical from a pure data perspective, felt completely tone deaf and out of touch to Robert. Made him feel misunderstood.
Oof. Yeah, that's not good. So this led Sarah and her partner Marcus to develop their own ethical framework, right?
Exactly. They realized they needed clear principles. Things like trust preservation, number one, client benefit first, always. Transparency and explainability. Can we explain why the AI suggested this?
Human oversight seems critical, too.
Absolutely. And fairness and equity, making sure it's not biased. These became their guiding principles for using any AI tool.
Okay, let's unpack transparency and explainability a bit more. The source uses another example, Bill Henderson, to illustrate this. It's not just what the AI recommends, but how it got there.
Precisely. Agents need to be able to understand and articulate the why behind an AI suggestion. Otherwise, how can the client trust it?
So Bill's situation involved his agent, Tom. An AI system found a way to offer Bill a lower premium.
Sounds good, right?
On the surface, yeah. But the catch was the detailed risk assessment behind that lower premium wasn't shared. Neither Tom nor Bill really understood the nitty-gritty details.
And then a claim happened.
Yep. And suddenly, the specifics of that hidden risk assessment caused confusion, frustration. It really damaged the trust between Bill and Tom.
Because they were operating without all the information, that lack of transparency backfired. Hugely. Clients need to understand the factors affecting their coverage. Hiding the sausage making, even unintentionally, just breeds suspicion.
But there was a positive resolution. Tom pushed back.
He did. He insisted the carrier explain the system's reasoning. And when they did, when Bill understood the risk assessment, it actually rebuilt trust. He even took steps to mitigate those risks.
That's interesting. So transparency actually led to better outcomes and stronger trust.
Exactly. And Tom ended up creating a simple disclosure for clients, just saying, hey, we use AI for risk assessment. Here's the kind of data. Here's how it helps you. Seems like a smart, practical move.
Definitely. Okay, another big ethical area, privacy and data usage. Elena Rodriguez's story touches on this.
Yeah, Elena's situation is about that balance. AI needs data, obviously, but how much is too much? How do we respect privacy boundaries?
Her agency got a new CRM, capable of sucking in tons of client data. But Elena made a conscious choice not to use all its capabilities.
She decided to limit the data collection based on ethical concerns, even though, you know, maybe grabbing more data could have led to more sales opportunities down the line.
That takes some discipline, prioritizing ethics over potential short-term gains.
It really does. And what's cool is she didn't just make the decision in a vacuum. She talked to a client advisory panel.
Oh, interesting. What happened?
She explained why they were limiting data access, the ethical reasoning, and the feedback was overwhelmingly positive. Clients appreciated the transparency and the respect for their privacy.
So being upfront about not collecting data actually built more trust. That's a powerful lesson.
It really is. Shows that clients value that respect.
Okay, let's shift to fairness and equity. This is critical. The Miguel Suarez case really brings this home, the danger of AI systems creating, or worse, amplifying bias.
Yeah, this is a huge area of concern with AI generally, and insurance is no exception. AI learns from data, and if that data reflects existing societal biases, well, the AI can end up perpetuating them.
The source mentions an agency noticing weird pricing patterns from their algorithm, potentially higher quotes in certain neighborhoods. And then Miguel's specific case.
Right. Miguel, a longtime low-risk client. Good driving record. But when he went to add his teenage daughter Sophia to his policy, the premium shot way up, unexpectedly high.
Despite his good history.
Exactly. And when the agent, James, dug into it, he found a possible correlation between the high quote and the average income level in Miguel's neighborhood, even though Miguel himself was a good risk.
Wow. So the algorithm might have been implicitly biased based on location or socioeconomic factors?
It looked that way. It was a real wake-up call for James. He realized AI isn't neutral. It reflects the data it's fed and the assumptions of its designers. It's the agent's job to catch this stuff and ensure everyone's treated fairly.
That's a heavy responsibility, but essential. You can't just blindly trust the machine's output, especially on fairness.
Absolutely not. You need that critical human lens, which ties nicely into the next point. Human oversight. Even with the smartest AI, you need people involved. The Henderson claim, A Different Henderson This Time, illustrates this.
Right. The story emphasizes that AI might miss the nuances, the context that a human picks up on.
Definitely. David's agency used a carrier's AI for initial claim recommendations. Efficient, maybe, but his team was wary of just rubber stamping the AI's decisions.
Good instinct. So what happened with the Henderson claim?
The AI, looking strictly at the policy wording, initially recommended denying the claim. A straightforward, by-the-book interpretation.
Yeah.
But David's team reviewed it. They saw extenuating circumstances, factors the AI just wasn't programmed to consider. They advocated for the client based on that human understanding, and they won. The claim was approved.
That's huge for the client. And David pushed back against just relying on the AI.
Yeah, he argued with a regional manager, saying even if the AI is accurate 90% of the time, that 10% where human judgment makes a difference is crucial. He even shares the Henderson story with new clients now.
Why does he share it?
To show the value they bring, that human understanding and advocacy that goes beyond pure automation, it differentiates them.
That's smart. It highlights the why us beyond just efficiency. Okay, let's talk professional development. How do agents need to evolve themselves in this AI world? Rachel's journey gives us some clues.
Rachel's story is great because it shows that embracing AI isn't just about using the tool. It's about deepening your own expertise alongside it.
She took over her dad's agency, was maybe a bit tech hesitant initially.
Yeah, but she decided to bring in an AI platform for things like cross-selling, comparing policies, personalizing messages. But the key insight she had was realizing she needed to understand why the AI suggested something, not just what it suggested.
That critical thinking piece again, not just accepting the output.
Exactly. So the AI recommended higher liability limits for a restaurant client, Elijah Jackson. Instead of just passing that along, Rachel dug in. She researched recent liability claim trends specifically for restaurants like his.
Ah, so she validated the AI's suggestion with her own expertise.
Right. And because she did that homework, she could have a much richer, more informed conversation with Elijah, explaining the reasons behind the recommendation. It wasn't just the computer says so.
Builds way more credibility.
Totally. And she even started this challenge practice in her agency.
What's that?
Encouraging her team to actively question the AI's recommendations. Poke holes in them. It keeps the human expertise sharp and stops them from getting complacent with the tech.
I like that. Fosters critical thinking. So Rachel's takeaway is really about integrating that technical know-how with ongoing professional learning and ethical judgment.
Precisely. The best agents will be the ones who blend tech skills with deep industry knowledge and sound judgment.
Okay, next up. Values-driven implementation. Pete's community focus. This is about making sure the AI aligns with your agency's fundamental beliefs, right?
Yeah, Pete's story is a cautionary tale, almost. It shows how even well-intentioned tech, if purely optimized for one metric like profit, can clash with core values like community service or fairness.
So Pete's agency got an AI marketing system optimized for profitability. What happened?
Well, the system started heavily targeting wealthier neighborhoods because statistically, that's where the higher profit potential was. Pete realized this could effectively lead to digital redlining, ignoring parts of the community his agency was committed to serving.
An unintended consequence of optimizing just for dollars.
Exactly. Algorithms do what you tell them to do. If you only tell them maximize profit, they might ignore other important factors like equity or community reach.
So what did Pete do? Did he just ditch the system?
No, he adjusted it. He tweaked the parameters, built in a community service quota for his team's outreach efforts, and added a fairness review process to check the AI's targeting.
So he actively guided the AI to align with their values.
Right. And the outcome was interesting. They ended up with a more balanced client mix, better retention in those underserved areas. It showed that sticking to your values can actually be good for long-term business health, not just a nice-to-have.
That's a great point. It's not always ethics versus profit. Sometimes they align in the long run.
Definitely. Okay, let's look at Diane's claims monitoring story, focusing on transparent client advocacy. This brings us back to disclosure.
Right, being open about how you're using AI, even when it's genuinely helpful for the client.
Diane's agency had this great system. AI monitored claim progress, flagged delays, let the team jump in proactively to help clients. Sounds fantastic, right?
Yeah, sounds like amazing service. What was the problem?
The problem was a client, Frank Bennett. He started feeling weird because the agency seemed to know things about his claim status that he hadn't explicitly told them yet.
How did they know that feeling?
Exactly. It made him feel a bit watched, suspicious, even though the intent was purely supportive.
So Diane realized the mistake.
Yeah, she realized they'd failed to tell clients about this monitoring system up front. Even though it was beneficial, the lack of disclosure created unease and undermined trust. Another reminder, transparency is key, always.
Even for the good stuff. Okay, our final case study. Michael's communication strategy in maintaining human connection. This feels really relevant today with all the automation.
It really is. Michael's agency went pretty deep into automating client communications using AI, personalized messages, efficient outreach, all that.
Trying to be efficient and personal at the same time.
Right. But they got feedback from a client, Thomas Green, who used the term uncanny valley.
Uncanny valley, like almost human, but not quite. And it feels off.
Precisely. The messages were personalized based on data, but they lack that genuine human warmth, that authentic touch. Thomas could feel the automation behind it.
Ouch. So personalization isn't enough if it feels robotic.
Apparently not. So Michael course corrected. He implemented what they call the human in the loop strategy.
Yes.
Meaning they were transparent about using automation sometimes. But they also trained the team to review and inject more genuine, authentic voice into the communications. Humans checking and tweaking the AI's output.
So finding that balance between AI efficiency and real human connection.
Exactly. And the feedback improved. They kept the efficiency gains, but restored that feeling of a real relationship. Shows you can't automate everything in a relationship business.
That human touch still matters. Okay, so after walking through all these examples, the source wraps up with a practical framework from Marcus, right? Three questions.
Yeah, a really simple but powerful checklist for evaluating any tech.
Go on.
First, purpose check. Does this tech clearly serve the client's best interest? Is that the primary goal?
Okay, number one.
Second, impact assessment. What are the potential ethical implications here? Good and bad. Have we thought through the ripple effects?
Right, potential downsides.
And third, transparency test. Are we being open and honest with clients about how we're using this? Can we explain it clearly?
Purpose, impact, transparency. Seems like a solid foundation for making ethical tech choices.
Absolutely. If you run any new AI tool or process through those three questions, you're likely to stay on the right track.
So wrapping this deep dive up, we've seen AI can be incredibly powerful for personalization, for efficiency, but it comes with real responsibilities.
Key takeaways really circle back to trust, prioritizing client benefit, being transparent, always keeping that human oversight in place, and striving for fairness.
And for you listening, the challenge, or maybe the opportunity, is to be thoughtful and proactive. View integrating AI not just as a tech upgrade, but as part of your ongoing professional development, ethically speaking.
And remember, it's not a one-and-done thing. It's about continuous learning, adjusting, and making sure the tech always serves that core human relationship.
Which brings us to our final thought for you. How can you, in your practice, integrate AI in a way that doesn't just make things faster, but actually deepens trust and reinforces your commitment to serving clients ethically? What specific steps will you take starting now to make sure your AI use aligns with your values and your clients' best interests? It's an ongoing exploration, and really, your thoughtful approach is going to be your biggest asset. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive.